What insane ways has the universe indicated that it could kill you at any time? I once had an elevator drop more than 10 floors rapidly before deciding to work properly. Let me explain. This happened to me at the Land Title Building in downtown Philadelphia. I was visiting a friend on the 20th floor, and around floor 15, the elevator suddenly makes a fatigued groaning sound before dropping. Fast. Scared the ever-loving pee out of me as I rocketed down to floor 5 before it slowed, stopped, and reversed course back up again. I noped. I hit the button for every floor so the freaking thing would just let me off, and I walked down the stairs and out of the building. I never did get to visit my friend. What random horrors has the universe subjected you to, only to say,
"Haha, got ya,"
right before the point of no return? And don't tell me this didn't or can't happen. It happened. When I was 10, I was on a helicopter visiting an island off the south coast of England. Everything was going smoothly until the helicopter turns on its side and proceeds to nosedive for a good 10 seconds toward the sea. Needless to say, this had everyone screaming and scared crapless. The helicopter suddenly levels off and the pilot comes onto the PA system and says, "Oh, sorry people, I could have sworn I spotted a dolphin. Won't happen again. I now hate helicopters."
I think I've played Battlefield 3 with this guy.
I'm a private pilot. One time I was nearing the airport to land. I hit the switch to put the landing gear down and only two lights showed up, indicating that the two main gears were down, but the nose gear was not coming down as well. So, if all else fails, I'd either have to raise the gear and do a belly landing, or do a landing with only two gears, which would be even more dangerous. But first I went back away from the airport to try and work out the problem, if possible. I tried raising the gear and re-lowering it. Same problem. Two lights, but no nose gear. Because the gear comes down from the force of gravity, I tried pulling a few G's to force it down. Nothing. I tried wiggling the rudder since the turning mechanism is connected to the nose gear. Nothing. Maybe a few more G's? Nothing. Finally, I remembered what the instructor had told me in passing when I was getting checked out in this particular aircraft. The lights for the gear are interchangeable, so that if one is burnt out, you can switch them around. So I went to switch them just in case the nose gear light was burnt out. As soon as I touched the light to change it, it came on. Whew! In the end, the light wasn't all the way into the socket, and that's what the problem was. I did a low pass over the tower so they could visually check that the gear was down just to be sure. I landed successfully in the end. In conclusion, landing gear wouldn't come down on my plane. Turned out that the light showing the gear's position was faulty, and I discovered it as I was at the end of my options before deciding on an emergency gear-up landing. I have a feeling that anyone who's entertaining ideas of getting their pilot's license is probably going to get a good brief of things that might put them off that particular vocation here. It's definitely not something for the light-hearted. I once studied abroad in Cyprus, and during Thanksgiving break, I decided to go to Spain for the week. No one else wanted to go, so I went alone. It was incredible. I saw Madrid, Toledo, Sevilla, Granada, and Barcelona, in that order. I was supposed to take a bus back to Madrid to catch my flight back to Cyprus the next day. When I got to the bus station with all of my luggage to take the last bus of the night around midnight, I noticed my wallet had been stolen. I had it when I got on the subway, so between getting on the subway and 10 minutes later when I got off and walked to the bus station, someone had taken it from me. My cash, debit card, and credit card were all stolen. I had no way of making purchases. My prepaid phone was out of minutes. I was effectively homeless in a foreign country. I went into the nearest bar where I told the bartender my story. He drove me back to his place after his shift ended at 3 a.m. He looked up the next available train and gave me 150 euros to pay for said train, subway tickets, and food. He drove me to the train station, I got on the train, and made my flight the next day. I've since wired him back his money. If it weren't for his kindness, I'd be living on the street in Barcelona begging for change.
How about the next time this happens, if you don't find a nice bartender, you go to the embassy before panhandling?
I was studying abroad on a cruise ship, semester at sea program, and crossing the Pacific in the middle of winter. Spent about a week pitching and rolling on 30 to 40 foot high waves. It wasn't uncommon to pitch 45 degrees to the right, only to get tossed back 45 degrees to the left. At one point, we got caught between two bad storms and hit with a rogue wave. It was over 80 feet high and crashed out the windows on the bridge and caused some electrical issues that stopped our engines. Tremendous damage to the rest of the ship. I was sleeping at the time and my bed ripped out of the wall. We prepared to abandon ship into lifeboats and I knew that we were all dead if we did that, as the Coast Guard was about a day out and there was no way the lifeboats would survive the rough waters.
Literally, as we're getting ready to go out on deck and board the lifeboats, one of the engines starts working again and we don't have to evacuate. We literally zigzagged our way to Hawaii and spent 2 weeks chilling while the boat was repaired. I was once young and kind of a moron. My friends and I loved to play in construction sites. Many of the neighborhoods in the area I grew up in were just being developed. Anyway, so we're messing around and we see these dump trucks dumping lots of black dirt, topsoil for lawns. So we're playing on the dirt piles, being little monsters, when a truck backs up and dumps a full truckload of dirt right on me. Even as a little nerd, I understood the immediate, overpowering, screaming urge to get the frick out now, now, now. I was running, scrambling, falling on this moving dirt pile, trying to reach the edge before it buried me completely. Which it did. I thought the classic line, "Oh, this is how I die. Weird." Just my hand was sticking out when the dirt stopped pouring. I immediately felt my friend's hands clawing the dirt away, and it couldn't have been more than a few seconds, but it felt like eternity. I now understand the reason why people get trampled and whatnot in disasters. I don't like to think about it, but I probably would have pushed my own mother out of the way. I was so overcome with a singular thought. Survive. When I was about 15, I took a trip to Vermont with my grandparents and my similarly aged cousin. We decided to go to one of those scenic overlooks that's nearby. It turns out to be a 50-foot tall waterfall. Scenic overlooks not really being our thing, my cousin and I decided to ditch the geezers and climb around behind the fall and check out the view from the top. We make it up there, grab onto a tree, and waved our arms madly to catch the attention of the old folks. At the same time they glance up, my cousin slips towards the falls. I grab him, but end up losing my footing and falling into the water myself. As the rushing water carries me towards what I assume to be our imminent death, my right foot gets caught between a couple of larger rocks and the water pushes me upright. I find myself standing not 15 feet from the edge of the falls, grandparents in plain sight, and I start yelling at them to take a picture. At that point, I was almost literally crapping my pants. I don't know if anyone else has seen their grandmother screaming in utter terror, but I honestly hope not. My cousin pulled me out with a large branch a few moments later, and we were in serious crap. After the crisis averted stage, we joined my grandparents on the wooden overlook. Clearly visible from that side of the falls was a giant sign on which all of the names of the people who had died from falling off said waterfall were printed. In conclusion, almost fell off a waterfall, but my leg got caught and saved me. I took a mastodonic bowel movement at a girlfriend's parents' house, and after flushing, as the water level rose and rose and rose, I looked frantically for a plunger. Her family must have been small, delicate poopers, because there was not a plunger to be found. The water level got right to the tip top and stopped. Fortunately, there was a wire hanger on a hook on the wall. I fashioned it into a makeshift plumbing snake and I rooted out the clog. I rinsed the business end in the sink and reassembled the wire hanger as best as I could. Pulled up my pants, washed my hands, and a spritz of Febreze to kill the stench. Crisis averted. I can't help but notice that the stakes in this last one weren't quite as high as some of the others, but I do recognize the terror of doing this kind of thing in a high-pressure social situation, and I appreciate that it probably felt like a life-threatening situation at the time. I once fell through the ice when I was around 11 years old and I didn't know how to swim. I flailed around wildly and started screaming at the top of my lungs. Then I noticed that the water was only about chest high. Still, it was a freaking cold walk home. I'm surprised I didn't get hypothermia. About 10 years ago, I went for a routine clinic screening because I'm responsible and stuff. The doctor comes out with that horrible bad news face that they all seem to get and just stands in front of me for a minute, clearing his throat and looking uncomfortable. He starts to say something twice while looking at the chart. "I'm afraid that, well, it isn't good." He clasps the chart in front of him and appears ready to say something. I glance at it quickly and make out the words "transmitted" and "disease" a few times. Suddenly, a nurse kind of jogs out of the office, takes the chart from the doctor, and hands him another one, gives me a smile, and then walks back inside. The doctor looks at the new chart, grins like a kid given the day off school, and says cheerily, "Well, looks like you're all clean." A friend of mine and I were kayaking in the Gulf of Mexico, and I thought we were about to be eaten by sharks. We saw like 6 dorsal fins approaching, and it wasn't until they were about 10 feet away that we realized they were dolphins. You weren't out of the woods. Dolphins love to play, except play for a 600-pound lump of high-speed, ocean-going muscle is not the sort of thing your bones will take much of. You're all, look at me, I'm a helpless sack of bones who can't swim with skinny, brittle appendages. And the dolphin is like, ah, sweet, bro, let's do flips. I'll totally throw ya, since I weigh 4 times as much and I don't really have a mental concept of broken arm on account of not really having arms.
You can submit your own stories to be featured here on the channel. The story submission link is in the description below. And if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode, also linked below, and subscribe.
I was once driven off the highway by a woman driving a minivan and simultaneously doing her makeup. I drove for a while in the grassy median zone before being able to jerk back onto the highway. When I looked at the lady again, she looked sad and apologetic, sort of like a puppy when it knows it's chewed on your favorite sandals. Doesn't change the fact that she almost killed me, of course.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I had a stroke at the age of 22 in September, but no permanent damage. Real funny, universe. I've got two. I was trapped on an escalator for 10 minutes one time between 2 floors. I thought I wasn't going to make it. The second one was when I was on an overnight flight coming home. Not many people, and an off-duty flight attendant was in the window seat, asleep. We're on final approach and over the end of the runway when the plane suddenly rolls what feels like 90 degrees, I guess it couldn't have been that steep, but the overhead luggage racks pop open and some loose bags go flying, and before anyone can even scream, the place rolls back level and lands. Maybe 10 seconds tops. The flight attendant wakes up and looks around and we make eye contact and I swear she says, "Ah, new pilot." I was totally stunned and pretty sure I peed my pants. Taking a trip through the mountains with the wife, now my ex-wife, in the biggest piece of crap car we'd ever owned. We were about 4 hours from home, going through a small town, when the brakes fail. Thankfully, the car was a 5-speed manual, so I start shifting down to slow down. I spotted an auto parts store while I was coasting, judged it just right and pulled in and parked, using the building to finally stop the car. It was a very gentle tap. I then proceeded to jack the rear of the car up and investigate. The rear brakes were completely shot, including the wheel cylinders. Went into the store, bought what I needed for repairs, new brake shoes, cylinder rebuild kits, and some brake fluid. I then proceeded to do a brake job on my car with nothing more than a Leatherman and a full-size flat-tip screwdriver. This was a mum-and-pup parts store, no loaner tools. I was back on the road within the hour. I guess this was more of a "frick you, universe" story. Years ago, I was taking a break from kayaking, swimming in a river with a bunch of people all around me. I was next to a big pipe running under the water, actually called pipeline. Still not sure the exact reason for the pipe, but I was slowly being pulled to the left. Not thinking of it much, I let it pull me when all of a sudden I'm completely submerged, being sucked down into it. But a random metal rod jabbed into my chest. I hung onto it for dear life with one hand and with the other hand reached out of the pipe to feel around, and I actually feel a handle to pull myself out. When I got out and sat on top of the pipe, I looked around and noticed that everything was crystal clear, and no one had even noticed that I'd almost died right then. Quite the thrill. In Iraq, an IED had gone off on the lead vehicle of the convoy. Once the medevac was called in, another Marine and I went to check the kill zone and the area around the LZ. After a few minutes of looking for wires or detonators, I realized I was standing on a sandbag in the median road. I'd walked on about 7 other sandbags. It was the remains of the IED that had hit the lead vehicle. It was a daisy chain where only one went off. I was walking on them. That was a real pucker factor. The only thing I can think of is a 5.7 earthquake in a building rated for 6. For some reason, I just pictured all buildings having an official rating, and if a quake goes over that rating, the building disintegrates immediately. I have no idea why I find the idea amusing. When I was 16, I started taking birth control pills. A month later, right before my spring break, my left hand started to turn purple and got incredibly painful. At the hospital, after many tests, they found I had a blood clot from damn birth control.
They perform an angiogram to search for any more clots. In the process, they discover a freak genetic deformity. I had extra rib bones growing off my spine, and they were pushing on my main artery under my clavicle, resulting in two aneurysms, one on each side. After a handful of surgeries, discarding rib bones and removing the aneurysms, they tell me I'm lucky to be alive. The best spring break ever. In short, taking birth control saved my life. I know many people who would echo the same sentiment, but for very different reasons, so congratulations. I hope you found a control method that worked for you. Coming back home from Iraq after my second tour, we stopped in Newfoundland in January. Blizzard-like conditions, we're taking off, and as soon as we get off the ground, the plane falls back onto the runway. The pilot comes on over the net and says, "Well, that was a little weird. We're gonna try and pull off and, make sure that everything is okay." Rev up the engines, and then went around for another try. I figured after a 16-month tour, surviving multiple IED attacks, countless firefights, this is where I die. In Canada. Obviously, I made it back okay. But still, flying scares me. One time, the brakes went out in a 15-year-old used car I used to own. Of course, I was speeding and the light turned yellow. I hit the brakes and they didn't work. But then, they locked up. I did a massive 180-degree going all the way across the intersection, coming to a complete stop, perpendicular to a car, staring the driver in the face. I laughed, turned around, and drove slowly the rest of the way home. I have one. I got stranded in the Salt Lake Airport once. I was looking at a 23-hour wait for my flight home to Boston, due to snowfall. Suddenly, after repeatedly asking the clerk to find us an alternate route, one opened up that would get us out of Salt Lake and give us an 8-hour layover in Vegas instead. I went from my worst airport moment ever to my greatest in the span of an hour. That clerk is my hero. Part 2, the Vegas to Boston flight ended up having us fly very near major storms in Texas and Oklahoma. The pilots let us know there's going to be turbulence. I somehow find it in me to fall asleep. I woke up with a massive thud from turbulence, and about a second later the plane begins to fall. I went weightless, and my seatbelt kept me strapped in. My wife let out a scream. So do others. I think, this is it. This is how it happens. And then, we regained control. The whole event lasted about 5 seconds. Turbulence backs off a few minutes later, and we make it to Boston safe and sound. So, in conclusion, stranded in Salt Lake due to a blizzard. That's bad. Rerouted to Vegas with 8 hours to rip it up. That's good. Plane home to Boston starts falling from the sky. That's bad. Plane levels off, and everyone hugs each other. Can I go now? I used to work in a fiberglass testing lab around buckets and buckets of the most flammable stuff you can imagine. Gasoline, ethanol, methanol, etc. There were open 5-gallon buckets of the stuff everywhere on the floor, and the walls were jammed with cabinets holding dozens of metal canisters of explosive liquids in storage. The job was dull. By the vent hood, we kept an old radio plugged into the hood sparkless outlet, and it was our sole entertainment. One day, a guy wheeled past in his chair and caught the radio cord. 5 of us watched the radio, still plugged in, bounce and teeter on the rim of a full 5-gallon bucket of xylene, then slowly pirouette away from the rim and hit the floor. A couple of millimeters to the left and we would have been vaporized. My supervisor, Jerry, one of the least flappable people ever, looked at us and said calmly, "We're gonna need to tape that to the wall." My girlfriend and I were driving to Vegas from San Francisco via Death Valley in a rental car. We were visiting the country. Anyway, we were 30 miles into Death Valley at around 6 p.m. when I realized we probably wouldn't have enough gas to make it to the next gas station, which was roughly 100 miles away. So after driving for another half hour or so, the blinking lights came on, indicating we were on reserve fuel. My girlfriend starts freaking out because our cell phones have no service, and there isn't anyone who we knew to call anyway. So we stopped at the deserted RV park in the middle of Death Valley to try and get some help, all while genuinely fearing running into a bunch of crazy hobos and getting robbed, kidnapped, or murdered. So anyway, the place is devoid of people, so we continue driving on reserve towards Beatty, Nevada. Eventually, the car grinds to a halt and we end up having to pull over to get help. We try flagging down cars for 45 minutes to no avail, until finally some truck that passes us suddenly pulls over and backs up to us. I explain our predicament to him and beg him to drive us to Beatty and back. By this time it was dark and the guy, a really friendly looking Latino dude, senses that we're desperate and does us the favor. When we actually got to the gas station in Beatty, my girlfriend was so relieved that she started crying. I proceeded to buy a 2-gallon watering can and filled it up with gas. Later, the guy drives us all the way back. He did roughly 40 miles there and back to our car. At this point, I was so grateful that I offered him $200, to which he flat out refused and even offered to tail us to Beatty in case we ran out of gas again. We managed to get to Vegas in the end after being on the road for about 14 hours. But this incident really shook us, but also reminded us that there are truly good Samaritans out there. Jose, if you ever come across this post, I just want to let you know you're an awesome guy. I was on a Navy C-2, a propeller plane, flying back to the carrier with the mail. There are no windows in the cargo section of this plane. Suddenly, in mid-flight, I'm blinded with bright daylight and roaring wind all around me. In a split second, I'm in the crash position out of reflex. I open my eyes and see the sunlight on the floor, with bits of newspaper and dust being thrown about by the wind. I hear the engines start to wind down, and I feel like the seatbelt is the only thing keeping me from floating out of the seat, as the plane starts to plummet. This lasts for a few seconds, but then the plane levels out and the aircrew guys are moving around me. One of them asks if I'm okay, and if it hit me. It turns out an overhead escape hatch had come unlatched and landed in the row of seats in front of me. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories, or if you want some vibey music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Genius, give Am I the Jerk a shot. Everything linked in the description.